Everyone, welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. We're so happy that you're here this morning. It's good to see you. Let's grab our seats and open our hymn books to page 411. We're going to sing Hold the Fort, page 411. Grab your seat, open your hymn books, page 411. Hold the Fort, sing it out with us on that verse.
Wake the answer.
open up with a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for all who are in attendance this morning. We pray that you would just fill us with your Holy Spirit today as we worship you. And as we go soul winning, as we read the scriptures this morning, I thank you, Lord, for the brethren who are back from Fiji. Thank you for the fruit that they saw out there on the island. And we pray for Pastor, who traveled down to Houston this morning. I pray that he is filled with the Holy Spirit as he preaches your word down there at Springcrest Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, for this church, and we love you, and bless this day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Our second song be page 40, No Disappointment in Heaven, page 40, No Disappointment in Heaven. Page number 40. Sing it out loud with us, starting on that verse.
There's no disappointment in heaven, no weariness, sorrow, or pain, no hearts that are bleeding and broken, no song with a fiery refrain. The clouds of our earthly horizon will never appear in the sky, for all will be sunshine.
Welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church this morning. If you need a bulletin, please raise your hand nice and high and we'll come around
and the ushers will get one to you. We do have our verse for the week there on the front, Philippians 4, verse 2, starting a new chapter. Encourage you guys to get on board and memorize that chapter. On the inside, we do have our service times and our soul winning times. We do have soul winning this afternoon at 2 p.m. Encourage you guys to be here for that. Below, we've got our month-to-date and our year-to-date stats. Over on the other hand, on the right-hand side, we do have our expecting ladies list. And I apologize, I did have to make some updates to this bulletin before we got it printed, so that is my apologies. But I do want to mention, we do have another lady to add to the list. So if you want to pencil her in, Miss Sarah Gomez, she's expecting in March. So praise God for that. I love Steadfast Baptist Church because there's never a lack of ladies to be in prayer for, right? We've got 10 ladies on the list here, so keep each one of them in your prayers. We do have an upcoming, basically, challenge for all of our members in the month of August. Those that can attend every service in the month of August will receive an ice cream gift card. And so we're really going to be encouraging church attendance for the month of August. So definitely want to be there for that. We'll have a list for you guys to mark off for each person that attends. And the exceptions to that is if you're out, you know, due to some type of an event or missions trip, just let us know, email the church, and we'll make an exception for that. Some upcoming events. Also, one thing that I want to make mention of, and I on accident removed it from the bulletin. I thought it happened this past weekend, July 25th. So this upcoming weekend is going to be the next teen summer event. There is a sign-up sheet out on the back table. I saw Brother Milstead also posted in the group chat a bunch of the details for that. So if you have any questions, please see him for that. Tomorrow evening, we are doing another just special event for men. It's a broom ball event at Ice at the Parks. They were basically doing a promotion, so we tried to take advantage of that. If you can make it, we'd love to have you. The more the merrier. It'd be a lot of fun. And then August 1st, we're going to have another soul-winning marathon in Corsicana. So be on the lookout for the details. There is a QR code on the back of the bulletin. You can scan that to sign up. On August 6th through the 8th, there will be a MASA conference in Connecticut, Plainfield, Connecticut. And Pastor is going to be preaching at that. And so if you're not able to make it, be on the lookout for the sermons being uploaded to YouTube, Rumble, various platforms. It'll be a great time. If you can make it, it's going to be an epic conference. There's a lot of great things going on there in the eastern part of the country. And so just really excited for that. And then there will be another teen summer event on August 15th. We have the Mesquite, Texas Soul Winning Marathon August 22nd. And then the church-sponsored missions trip September 7th through the 12th to Barbados. Really encourage you, if you have not already, to send in your flight itinerary to the church. Email that to us. We'll get you on the list for lodging. And it's going to be a great mission trip. If you're on the fence on whether or not you should go, I've got a great sermon for you this morning. So I want to really encourage you to do that, to make that decision. And then September 20th, Pastor Stuckey's going to be here preaching for us. And so I'm really looking forward to that as well, just being able to see him and his family. He's doing a great work in the Philippines, and I just pray that we would all be an encouragement to him and his family while they're here. October 9th through the 11th is the Heritage of the Lord Conference. Then we'll have our annual chili cook-off October 31st. There's a preaching boot camp in Faithful Word Baptist Church, Tempe, Arizona, in November 12th through the 14th. And then the Turkey Bowl, November 28th. And then the Philippines mission trip, another hosted mission trip, our church, February 12th through the 20th. So lots of things to look forward to. On the back is a list of people to be in prayer for. At this time, I'm just going to give a quick testimony about the mission trip that we went on to the island of Fiji. First off, is a great trip, all around success. I think the grand total I saw this morning, reported salvations for the trip, was 4,605 salvations. So it was a great trip. The Aussies are very zealous soul winners. They were out there just from dawn till dusk preaching, And, of course, we had several people from our church go and various churches. So lots of churches were represented on the trip. And it was a great time. I would put the receptivity of the island of Fiji on par with the Philippines. I mean, it really is just an island of very friendly people. That's something that really stood out to me, is just really how friendly everyone is. They're very hospitable people. And pretty much everyone that you talk to wanted to get saved. They wanted to hear. I had an instance of one time where I was preaching to two sisters where they just didn't pray with me at the end, but that was it. Like the rest of the time, everybody was listening and praying at the end to get saved. And so that's just, it's not something you get to experience here in the States or really very many other places in the world. It's a very Christian nation. I will say this, a couple things that shocked me about the island of Fiji is how many Indians are on the island of Fiji. About a third of the people there are of, like, you know, from, you know, their heritage would be from India. And so there, because of that, there's a lot of Hinduism that's influencing the schools, government, things like that. So that was something I was not expecting. And I did, I was able personally to get two girls who were Hindu, convert them to Christianity. They were some college age girls. And I've never been able to get, somebody that was a Muslim or a Hindu. I mean, I've been able to preach the gospel to many people like that, but nobody would ever pray with me. These two girls actually decided to convert and to believe on Jesus. So that was really cool. That was a highlight of the trip for me as well. Another thing that kind of shocked me is how many dudes wear skirts over there. Like, I kind of thought that was just a Scottish thing, but no. The island of Fiji, many of the men wear skirts, and it's kind of a form of a formal type dress. So, like, the dress code for the dudes in the schools was skirts. So you had all the women wearing dresses. Hey, praise God for that. It was almost backwards of America in a way. It's like all the women were wearing dresses, but all the dudes were wearing dresses too. It's like it was just like bizarre. So there was a couple opportunities. I got to kind of slide that in to some people, like, hey, you know, that's a sin, right? So that was something that kind of caught me off guard. But in general, I mean, Fiji is just an amazing island. I want to go back. I mean, there's tons of people there still that need to hear the gospel. Fiji is a group of islands. So it's not just that we went to the main island and we went to one of the larger cities on the island. But there's really a group of islands that make up Fiji. Not to mention there's also the island of Samoa and then Tonga. And all of these islands, along with like the Marshallese and many Pacific islands, islands in the Pacific, South Pacific, are very Christian. I mean, everybody we're pretty much running into would at least give lip service to Christianity. They claim to be a Christian. And so on top of that, once you told them that they weren't saved, they were eager to hear. And so I'm really interested to even maybe venture out at some point in the future and hit a place like Samoa or Tonga or some of the islands that are nearby, because what we were told is that there's much less Indians there, so there's a lot less Hinduism influence, and so the idea is that they're going to be even more receptive to the gospel there. You could have similar numbers, and so it's a great trip. I'm thankful to Pastor Shelley for supporting us and going out there. I'm thankful to Pastor Sepulveda for the efforts of his church. Several people in his church had a lot to do with organizing that mission trip. Also, Brother James and Brother Kenton. They went down there like a week before we got there. And because of that, we were able to get into six schools and preach in six different schools throughout the week when we were there. Just the exact same way we had been doing this in the Philippines, where you get to get up, you get your own classroom. And many people got saved from that. I believe the total number was 888. Was that the number you remember? Yeah, so 888 kids got saved just in the schools alone. And so it was a great opportunity. Really thankful just for all the hard workers that went out to preach the gospel. And if you've never been on a mission trip, I really encourage you to make that decision. It's life-changing. Every time I go, I mean, it's just, I just have, you know, so many great things to say, so many great things to bring back with me. And just also, I'll just say this, I'm also thankful to be an American, you know, to come back home to America. You know, we can sacrifice for a week or 2 weeks and go and preach in these places. But I'll tell you what, I spent a long time in the shower last night just letting that hot water hit me in the face. I mean, it felt great. I was thanking God for the blessings that we have here in America. So, you know, it's twofold in that regard. With that, we'll go to our next song if Brother Brandon wants to come up and lead us.
Our next song is going to be Psalm 148. It's going to be in your special binder in front of you, or you can use your Bible. It's going to be page 17 in your special binder, Psalm 148. Psalm 148. Follow along with us on that verse.
Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, praise him. All his angels, praise him. All his hosts, praise him. Sun and moon, praise him. All ye stars of light, praise him.
With that song this morning. At this time, the offering plates will be passed around. You can turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 32. That's Numbers chapter 32.
Numbers 32, the Bible reads, "Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle, and when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead that, behold, the place was a place for cattle, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Elealeh and Shebam and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if ye turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel, until we have brought them unto their place, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build you cities for your little ones and folds for your sheep, and do that which hath proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. But thy servants will pass over, every man armed for war before the Lord to battle, as my Lord saith. So concerning them, Moses commanded Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Moses said unto them, if the children of Gad and the children of Reuben will pass with you over Jordan, every man armed to battle before the Lord, and the land shall be subdued before you, then ye shall give them the land of Gilead for a possession. But if they will not pass over with you armed, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, as the Lord hath said unto thy servants, so will we do. We will pass over armed before the Lord into the land of Canaan, that the possession of our inheritance on this side Jordan may be ours. And Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad, and to the children of Reuben, and unto the half tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land with our cities thereof, and the coasts, even the cities of the country round about. And the children of Gad built Dibon, and Ataroth, and Aror, and Atroth, and Shophan, and Jazer, and Jogbeha, and Beth Nimrah, and Betharan, fenced cities and folds for sheep. And the children of Reuben built Heshbon, and Elealeh, and Kirjathaim, and Nebo, and Baalmeon, their names being changed, and Shibma, and gave other names unto the cities which they builded. And the children of Maker, the son of Manasseh, went to Gilead, and took it, and dispossessed the Amorite which was in it. And Moses gave Gilead unto Maker, the son of Manasseh, and he dwelt there. And Jair, the son of Manasseh, went and took the small towns thereof and called them Havoth-Jair. And Noba went and took Kenath and the villages thereof and called it Noba after his own name. Inspire heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the missions trip to Fiji. And I just pray, Lord God, that the souls that were won there would choose to serve you with their life. I pray that you bless the sermon this morning and give Brother Fur the fullness and power of the Holy Spirit as he preaches to us. Help us pay attention to his message and apply it to our lives so that we can serve you better. And I ask for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to start off by just thanking Pastor Shelley for the opportunity to preach. It's always a great honor. I'm always thankful anytime I get an opportunity to open the Word of God and preach from it. And I want to preach a sermon based on this chapter here in Numbers chapter 32. And pull out some spiritual applications that we can take from this. But first, let's kind of get an idea as to what's taking place here. The 40 years of them wandering in the wilderness has come to an end. And they're ready to go in and to possess the promised land. And you'll notice in these first couple of verses, Reuben and Gad, they come to Moses and they say that, hey, we have cattle in this land on the other side of Jordan, the land of Bashan and Sihon. This is a land that's good for us. This is a good inheritance for us. We want to lay hold of this possession to be ours. And so they present this idea to Moses. And Moses is a little concerned at first because he doesn't want the fellow brethren, the children of Israel, to be discouraged and to not go in and possess the land if the two and a half tribes stay back and don't go into battle with them. He's afraid that they're going to be destroyed like the children of Israel in the wilderness were destroyed when they didn't have faith when they got the report from the 12 spies, right? The 12 spies went out, 10 were bad and 2 were good. And they didn't have faith to go into and inherit the promised land. And so because of that, they were destroyed. And Moses, he's worried that that same thing is going to take place. And you're going to see a glimpse of the hearts of the men of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh. When we look at verse number 16, let's go ahead and just read a couple of verses here. It says, and they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones, but we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. Notice this in verse 18. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. And that's the title of my sermon this morning is Every Man His Inheritance. The children of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they were not just satisfied with gaining their inheritance, with gaining their possession, but rather they had a willing heart to go to battle with their brethren to bring them into their inheritance, to bring them into their possession of the promised land, so that way they too could take part in that inheritance. They had a heart to serve their brethren. And that's really the focus of my sermon this morning is every man his inheritance. That's the mentality as Christians that we should have for our brethren. Those that would be saved, Lord, those that would call on the name of the Lord. We should have a heart to see every man receive his inheritance. And you notice that Moses basically gives them some warnings. He warns them about what happens if they choose not to go into this land in battle with them. Skip down to verse number 22. The Bible says, and the land be subdued before the Lord. Then afterward, ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Moses makes it clear that if they do not choose to go in and battle alongside their brethren, that this would actually be a sin unto them. They would be sinning against God, and they would not be held guiltless. There would be consequences for that. And this is what I really want to focus on is some of the spiritual application that we can take from the Old Testament. You know, this is what the Old Testament is there for. It's for us to learn from, for us to look at and apply these truths to our life so that way we can be better Christians. Go back to the beginning of this chapter. I want to kind of go through and just slowly dissect just some really great points that the Bible is making here. Let's start back at verse number 2. The Bible says in verse number 2, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Eleal and Shebam and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have, notice this, found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. So notice, in order to inherit anything, it's because of finding grace in the sight of God, right? It's finding grace in the sight of God that we're able to inherit any of the possessions that God has for us, specifically salvation. Now notice, though, what did they do first? And I want to highlight this as well. Let me find this in the verse. I didn't write it down. Verse number 2. It says, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses. So what did they have to do? They had to open their mouth seeking grace in the sight of God. And this relates to salvation. Go to Acts chapter number 20. Go to, and of course, hold your place here in Numbers 32. We're going to be coming back here throughout the sermon. But go to Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20, look at verse number 32. The Bible says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God, notice this, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So the Bible is basically saying that the way in which we inherit that possession of salvation is through the grace of God. It's through the grace of his word. And this is why it's so important that when we go out, we are using the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the grace of his word is how we get saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's the grace of God, his great mercy, that he died for us. And he gave us an opportunity to be saved in his son. And notice, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, right? It's not just enough to say that you believe in Jesus Christ in your heart. Many people can say, oh, yeah, I believe. But unless they ask God for salvation in faith, well, guess what? They didn't get saved. Right. You know, and many times, and I had this happen to me. I had somebody not pray with me over this trip in Fiji. And you know what? They didn't get saved. They understood everything. And typically when a person doesn't open their mouth and call upon the name of the Lord, it's because they don't actually believe it, right? They're not putting their faith in God. There's some hang up there. There's something that's causing them not to put their faith in Jesus. And so as a result, they won't call in the name of the Lord. So you see a great picture here in Numbers where Reuben, Gad, they are coming, they're speaking, and they're doing it seeking grace in Moses' sight. Go back to Reuben. I'm sorry. Go back to Numbers 32. Numbers 32. Numbers 32. Skip down to verse number 6. The Bible says, and Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? So Moses is basically confronting them. You know, he's not opposed to them inheriting this land. But he kind of brings up this concept. He's bringing up this idea that, hey, just because you're saved doesn't mean that you should just be satisfied with just that, right? Shall we continue in sin that grace abound? God forbid, the Bible says. You know, Moses is a picture of the law here. And so Moses is coming to them and saying, hey, you still have work to do. Even though you can inherit this land, you still have work to do. And Moses, we can see as being a picture of the law here that's going to be convicting Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh to actually go and do something for the Lord once they've received that inheritance. The Bible says in Mark 16, verse 15, you don't have to turn there. The Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible is commanding us to be a preacher, to be a soul winner. The Bible is commanding us to go out. Similar to how Moses is commanding the men, hey, you're not going to just stay here and do nothing. You should go out and fight with your brethren. Skip down to verse number 7. The Bible says, and wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them. So if they don't go fight with their brethren, the children of Israel, those that were there to go in and fight, they were going to be discouraged. And in the same way, those in the wilderness were discouraged and didn't believe and therefore didn't inherit the promise. They didn't inherit the possession. These two could be discouraged and not inherit. And there's a correlation here with a preacher and going out and preaching the gospel. And if that preacher decides not to go out, if he decides not to follow Moses and the law and the commandments of God to go and preach the gospel, well, then many people are going to be destroyed. Many people are not going to gain that inheritance. Go to Hebrews chapter number 3. We have this brought up in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter number 3. It's talking about the children of Israel that were discouraged and then destroyed. Why were they destroyed? What caused them not to enter in and claim that inheritance that God had promised them? Hebrews chapter number 3, look at verse 18. The Bible says, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. The Bible says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Right? Those that don't hear the gospel, those that don't hear a clear presentation, they will be destroyed. Their heart will be discouraged. They will not enter in to possess the inheritance that God has for them. You know, this is why it's so important as Christians that we're not just satisfied with the inheritance that we receive in belief and faith in Jesus Christ, that earnest of our inheritance, the Holy Spirit, each one of us that are believe in Jesus, we get sealed with that earnest of our inheritance, the Holy Spirit. But we shouldn't be just satisfied with our inheritance, but rather we should be willing to see that every man receives his inheritance. Yeah. We should be willing to go out and open our mouth. And if we don't open our mouth, many will be destroyed. Yeah. Many will go to hell. Flip over to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. Another really famous passage. And this is something that I really want to encourage people who are on the fence about soul winning, or just maybe not going as soul winning as often as they should, is you need to understand the importance of soul winning, that there are lives at stake. Many people are going to die and go to hell. You know, we got a lot of people saved in Fiji, but there are thousands more that are going to die and go to hell. They'll never hear a clear presentation of the gospel. You know, it's not just Fiji. It's all around the world. I mean, there are people everywhere that are going to be destitute from hearing the gospel. They're not going to hear that preacher. That preacher isn't going to come unto him. And that's why the feet of the preacher are so beautiful. They're beautiful in the sight of God because it's so rare. The Bible says in Romans 10, look at verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You have an obligation to go out and preach the gospel. It's something that it should be a burden on your heart. Something that you should desire to go out week in and week out preaching the gospel to the lost. Because many people are going to be destroyed if they don't hear this message. Without a preacher, how are they going to believe? Right? How are they going to call on the name of the Lord without the preacher being sent out into the highways and hedges? You know, and this is one of the reasons why most of us are all here today, right? This church is a beacon for soul winners to equip them with everything that they need to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you should be thankful for the church that you have. Don't look at this church as being something that's, you know, just a weekly thing that you check off the box, you know, you check the box on, right? You got your checklist of Christianity. You're just checking the box. No, you should recognize, hey, this is something that's very important. Amen. The work that we're doing is very important. The rest of the tribes, they needed Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh to go out to battle with their brethren. They needed them. It was important. It wasn't like, you know, they could have just sat back, oh, they'll get it done. No, they needed their brethren to come with them to help them inherit. Go back to Numbers 32. Numbers chapter number 32. So Moses, he brings up the fact that they're going to be discouraged, and he kind of does this playback of everything that happens in the wilderness. And we're going to skip forward to verse number 16. Verse number 16, the Bible says, "And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place, and our little ones shall dwell in fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance." And this is what I want to challenge you with right now, is that we should not just be satisfied. We should not be satisfied with, you know, the inheritance that we've gotten. We should not be just satisfied with the work that we've done to this point in our lives. We should never be satisfied. We shouldn't be satisfied until every man receives his inheritance. Amen. That should be our mentality. I really love the attitude that Reuben and Gad had here, because they're willing to go all the way to the end, all the way to the bitter end, to fight every battle, so that way every man can receive his inheritance. That's the attitude that we should have. You know what that attitude is? It's an attitude of serving, right? Christianity is all about serving. And so many people today have a mixed up view of what Christianity should be. Go to Philippians chapter number 2. Go to Philippians chapter number 2. So many Christians today have such a messed up view of what Christianity should be. They come to church seeking to find what they can get out of church. What does the preacher have for me today? Now, obviously, that's an element of church, right? We come to church to hear, to listen. But that's the only reason some people come to church, is just to hear from the Word of God. Now, that's a great reason to come. Don't let me discourage you in that. But listen, Christianity is not just about receiving. Christianity is all about giving. Christianity is all about serving others. Notice what the Bible says here in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse 5. It says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." So it doesn't say, hey, you know, don't worry about yourself. Because we should. We should, for our own well-being, come to church so we can get fed. We should, for our own well-being, go out and work hard to provide for our family. You know, we should work hard as ladies. You guys should work hard to raise your children, to teach them. But you know what? It's not just about ourselves. It's also about serving others. "But every man also on the things of others, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Christ Jesus came to give us an example of servitude. That's all he did. He came and just served and served and served and served and served. He's washing the disciples' feet. He's constantly seeking to save those that are lost. Right? Jesus Christ is serving and serving and serving. And, you know, he has nowhere to lay his head many times. He's not so much worried about his own well-being, but rather the well-being of others. He wants others to benefit. He wants others to be, to enjoy the many benefits that God has for them. He's serving others. And that's the type of mentality we should have. is to serve others. You know, I work hard throughout the week. I try to work as hard as I can. But you know what? It's not so that way I can be wealthy. It's not so that way I can heap up riches unto myself. It's so I can provide for my family, my children, and to make sure every man gets his inheritance. I want to spend my money towards my family, my kids, and making sure other people can get saved. Going out and preaching the gospel. That's the type of mentality we should have. It is not being worried about, you know, how much it costs sometimes. You know, because sometimes that can be a difficult aspect of it. And there are costs. And I'm not saying you have to go on every mission trip. I mean, there are a plethora of opportunities to go and preach the gospel. You don't have to go on every one. But listen, I encourage you to at least choose to go on one. Just go on one. It will change your life. It'll give you a burden for the lost. It'll help you to understand that many there be that go in there at. Many are following the broad way. Many are going to end up in hell. And it'll give you a heart for those people. Go to Acts chapter number 26. Acts 26. Preaching the gospel is the most selfless thing you could do. It's the most selfless thing you could do. None of it really benefits you. I mean, from a physical perspective, right? From a spiritual perspective, it benefits you, you know, more than anything. But from a physical perspective, I mean, you might get a little exercise. Like, that's maybe the only benefit you'll get out of it. But, like, my voice is pretty much shot right now. And it's because I've been preaching all week, you know? That's not very fun to get up here and preach a sermon with no voice. You sound like I'm going through puberty or something. But you know what? We should be willing to serve other people. We should be willing to sacrifice some things in this life so that way other men can receive their inheritance. Notice Acts 26, and I want to highlight a couple things. Look at verse number 18. Verse number 18, the Bible says, to open their eyes. Now, this is just to kind of give some context. This is basically what Jesus is telling Paul during his conversion. If you read this portion of scripture, Paul's recanting his conversion story. And this is what Jesus is telling him. So if you got a Bible that's got red letters, this would be red letters. It says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. See, it's a complete selfless act to help every man his inheritance. It's a complete selfless act. Notice Jesus is telling them, you're going to go open their eyes. You're going to turn them from darkness to light that they may receive forgiveness so they can receive that inheritance, right? Everything that we do in the Christian life should be centered around serving other people, making sure other people get to enjoy the benefits that you have received. I mean, if we stopped right now, we would have, you know, nothing to be ashamed of, right? We would have, you know, great things to rejoice in, the rewards. But the most important thing is salvation. The fact that your soul is not going to hell. You know, and, you know, sometimes I think maybe we don't think about that as often as we should. I mean, I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. But it's by the grace of God that I get to go to heaven. Not, and then on top of that, I have the opportunity to serve God and then earn rewards in heaven. I mean, we have a great opportunity to serve God mightily. We shouldn't just, squander those opportunities. We should take full advantage of those things and really just have a mind to serve other people, you know, a heart for other people. You know, something else we should be willing to do as a servant is to endure some battles, to go through some hard times. Go back to Numbers 32. Numbers 32. Numbers 32, look at verse number 20. The Bible says, and Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war. You know, they weren't just helping them inherit without any, you know, affliction, without any resistance. There was going to be great resistance. There was going to be many battles that they were going to have to fight. And I really like this point. Moses tells them, hey, go armed before the Lord, right? You're taking the sword of the Spirit when you go out to preach the gospel. You're arming yourselves. You know, and so many people, they go out and they think they're doing a great job because they got a bunch of Chick Tracks in their pocket. How many Chick Tracks can I hand out? You know, my son can turn any object into a weapon, right? The vacuum cleaner is a gun, right? It's a machine gun, or, you know, he'll make these paper knives or whatever. And I was thinking about this, it's like a lot of these people that think they're doing a great work for the Lord with all their Chick Tracks in their pocket, they're going out with a little paper knife thinking that they're actually going to accomplish something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You know, that's something that a child would do,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, imagining in their mind that they're actually accomplishing great things. You know, that's something that a child does with their imagination, right? But listen, when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Yeah.
Supposed to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and go out and slay the enemies of the Lord.
Amen.
Right? Go fight some battles. And you know, you need the word of God to do that.
Right?
Right? You're not going to just go out and win a bunch of battles without the Bible. We should all be equipped with the word of God when we go out and preach the gospel. Right? And listen, if you have the verses memorized and you got to do it in a pinch, hey, praise God. I don't think somebody can't get saved by that, because that's the word of God ultimately. But I think the most effective way is to just show them straight from the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, God gave us this Bible for a reason. He's preserved his word in a book, right? We shouldn't look at this book as being inferior. Oh, well, it's just words on a page. No, this is the word of God.
Amen.
You know, this is powerful. This is the sword that we're going to go out and slay all the enemies. You know, there's a lot of enemies out there that we should be, you know, slaying. In Fiji, we're slaying the enemy of Hinduism. Let me tell you, I mean, it was difficult, because something that many of the Fijians really struggled with is eternal security. You know, and just thinking that they couldn't, they couldn't do something to, or that they could do something to lose their salvation. So that was an enemy we were having to slay. We're having to slay this idea that you can have multiple gods. You know, we did some slaying. There was one classroom we were in. I mean, we were taking Hinduism to task, slaying Hinduism before the children. It was kind of cool. This was after they all prayed. It's like the people who prayed, you could tell who they were, because they were like on our side. They were like, yeah, you know, Hinduism is a false religion. You know, it was great to see that, you know, and that's what we do. We go out and we are fighting these battles. We're slaying false doctrine. We're trying to defeat the enemies of the Lord so that way every man can inherit his inheritance.
Yes.
Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Paul fought some battles. Paul fought some battles for the elect's sake so that way people could receive their inheritance. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. Notice this, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So the Bible is saying that Paul had this mentality that receiving my inheritance is not enough. You know, I'm going out, I'm fighting battles so that they also may obtain. So that they also may be able to receive that inheritance. He's fighting those battles for the elect's sake. You know, and if you think about this, they're called the elect. They're our brethren. But they have not received that inheritance yet. Because they are elect according to what? The foreknowledge of God. Right? You know, we're not Calvinists here. We don't believe that God predestines people to salvation and damnation. Right? But we are foreordained of God. We are elect of God according to the foreknowledge of God. God knowing the beginning from the end. But that doesn't change the fact that we should go out and seek those brethren. Find them and help them inherit the blessing that God has for them in salvation. We should have that mentality that we're willing to endure all things. You know, I got an opportunity to preach just like a little 15-minute sermon. I brought up the fact that, you know, one affliction you might have to endure is just 13 hours on a plane. You know, 13 hours on a plane feels like a lot of affliction. Feels like a lot of pain and suffering. I mean, it's rough. I mean, you're packed in there like sardines. can't get comfortable. I mean, I'm like turning this way, turning that way, just trying not to get in their bubble and don't want them to get in my bubble, you know. It's hard. But you know what? It's all worth it. I endure all things for the elect's sake. And listen, that's a light affliction. Let's go to another passage. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. It's a light affliction. The things that we have to endure in reality is such light affliction, even comparable to Paul. But what did Paul say? He's getting stoned to death. He's getting shipwrecked. I mean, he's going through some terrible things, some misfortunes, right? He truly endured all things for the elect's sake. So, hey, listen, don't get this idea like, oh, well, you know, I'm just accomplishing all these great, I'm enduring such great things for the cause of Christ. Listen, we endure very light things. It's very little things that we have to go through. A little bit of Texas heat, right? I mean, hey, Texas heat's affliction, but it's nowhere near compared to what Paul went through. And Paul had a humble spirit. Paul had this idea that in his mind of serving others. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look what the Bible says in verse 15. It says, for all things are for your sakes. You know, that motivated him, I bet. You know, he's probably just thinking about all the people that are going to die and go to hell. He's thinking about all these people. He's like, hey, I'm going to endure all these things for them. You know, and sometimes you just have to have an idea in your mind, an image in your mind of these people that you haven't met yet that are going to die and go to hell. That might help you to endure all things for their sakes. Right? Have the right mentality. If you're struggling with going out soul winning, hey, just try to picture in your mind Ephesians. Some right now, there are 300,000 plus Ephesians that are going to die and go to hell if a preacher doesn't go preach to them. There are thousands of people in the Philippines. There are thousands of people in Asia and Africa, all across this world, that are going to die and go to hell. Every one of them, if they don't hear the gospel message and choose to believe on Jesus. So, you know, you should, if you're struggling with going soul winning on a regular basis, hey, just try to just think of just, you know, people's faces that are going to be burning in hell for all eternity. That should motivate you. For all things are for your sake. It says that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. You know, and this is another thing to kind of help put things in perspective. We go out soul winning not for our own glory. You know, not so that way we can get a pat on the back. It's so that way God can get glory, right? We should be praising God for all the souls that got saved in Fiji, right? Praise God that he provided a way for us to get over there, that people put in their heart this desire to have a missions trip there, or the cruise missions trips, or, Barbados, the Caribbean. Hey, praise God that we have the opportunity to go and do those things for the glory of God, not for our own glory. Verse 16, it says, for which cause we faint not. Notice, the people that were not going to get saved, or the people that hadn't heard the gospel, those are the people that Paul endured for. He was willing to go until he just could not go any longer. He would not be satisfied until every man had his inheritance. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, the afflictions, the light afflictions that it took to get to Fiji and back, those things lasted but a moment. You know, sometimes in the heat of a battle or in the heat of a downturn in your life, it can feel like it's never going to end. It can feel like it's going to go on forever. But the reality is that these are just a moment, a vapor in time when we're talking about eternity, right? The rewards that we win through enduring these light afflictions, it holds an eternal weight of glory so much more. I mean, it's not even to be compared with the little bit of affliction we have to go through. It'll all be worth it in the end. Amen. You will not be left ashamed if you decide to go and preach the gospel. The Bible says in verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We should have an eternal mindset, right? This spiritual mindset. and realizing that, hey, we might have to go through some battles. We might have to endure some hardship. We might have to endure some affliction in our lives, but it's for the sakes of the elect. It's for their sakes, so they may obtain. It'll all be worth it in the end. Don't worry about the things that you can see. Worry about the things that you cannot see, the promises of God. Let that be your motivating factor. Go back to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. Here's another point that I want to make here. Not finishing the job would have been a sin unto Reuben and Gad. It would have been a sin. Notice what the Bible says in verse, we read 20. Let's just skip down to verse 21. It says, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord. Then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. You know, some people have in their mind, they think, oh, well, going out soul winning, that's extra. That's extra credit. You know, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It doesn't say exceptional service. It says that's your reasonable service, to make your body a living sacrifice for God. You know, we should have this mentality of, hey, if I don't go out and preach the gospel, I'm in sin. God's not happy with me. And the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Listen, this is, you know, and you say, oh, are you trying to fear everybody? Yeah, I am. And let's just see what Paul had to say. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. Go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 9. What does Paul say? What's his mentality? Is he looking at like, oh, well, I'm just doing all this extra credit. I'm doing all this extra servitude above and beyond what I'm asked to do. Nope. Notice what Paul says in verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for of necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The Bible says that it's a sin if we don't go out and preach to every creature. If you're not going out soul winning on a regular basis, you're in sin. Yeah. You know, and I've heard it been said, hey, you should go out soul winning one time a week. I like that. I like that doctrine. Yeah. It's consistent. Right. You should go out soul winning at least one time a week. If you could go out more, hey, praise God. Yeah. Everybody's situation is going to be different. I get that. So I don't think you have to look at somebody else and the amount of soul winning that they're doing and put yourself on par with them necessarily. But you should be going soul winning on a regular basis. Yeah. It should be something that you're doing every single week at the bare minimum. And if you don't do that, you're going to be in sin. Paul said, woe is unto me. You know what woe? I mean, woe is a very strong word in the English language. We don't really use that a whole lot. I mean, I always think of the woes in Revelation. I mean, that's a terrifying thing when God is pouring out his wrath. You know, it's something that should be exceeding sorrowful. If somebody's not going out soul winning, that's saved, that's an extremely sorrowful thing. They should have a desire to go out and serve others. Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. You know, and he says, I have nothing to glory of. I really love Paul's mentality. Because he's not sitting around just thinking like, I'm just doing all these great exploits. Look how great I am. Everybody, you know, pat me on the back. Everybody just come up and just tell me how great I am. No, rather, his mentality was, hey, to God be the glory. Amen. He wasn't glorying in himself. And I think sometimes, because we do go to a really zealous church that's zealous for soul winning, that we can have this bad mentality of thinking that we're just doing all these great things. And hey, we should get all the recognition. It's like, no, listen, just because the rest of this world is doing nothing for God doesn't mean that you're just this great person for going out and doing what God expects you to do. Just the bare minimum. You know, we want to have the right mentality. And listen, I'm not down, and I don't want people to get the wrong mentality, but our mentality should not be in comparison of man's standards. You know, the old IFB's standards. Our mentality should be according to God's standards. You know, and God says if we don't go to battle, if we're not going out and preaching the gospel, if we're not going out and preaching to every creature, hey, we should be upset about that. That should be something we should be fearful about. You know, God repays sinners. You know, we don't want to be living in sin. You know, we preach a lot on sin. You know, and this is an area in your life that you should not, you should have this right. You should have this dialed in. You should be going preaching the gospel on a regular basis. Paul's perspective of preaching was out of obligation. He felt like it was of necessity. It is of the utmost importance. This is what I should be doing. You don't have to turn there. Romans 1 verse 14, the Bible says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Again, just highlighting Paul's mentality. He felt like he was a debtor to them. He owed it to them to go to them. He owed it to them to show them the gospel. You know, and I want to encourage you to have that same mentality. Have a desire in your heart to see people saved. I have a desire in your heart to sacrifice so that way others can receive, you know, the free gift of salvation. Hey, praise God for that. But listen, this is our job. This is our duty as Christians. Amen. You know, don't look at yourself as you know, just this warrior. You know, and listen, I get it. We are the front lines many times. No, we are the ones out in the battlefields. We are the Navy SEALs and the Army Rangers and, you know, all the elites of this world in terms of soul winning. But listen, don't get this skewed mentality. Paul didn't have that mentality. I mean, was Paul a Navy SEAL? Was he on the front lines? Was he out there just, you know, in the trenches doing the hardest things? Yeah, of course, but look at his mentality, right? So I want you to have the right mentality about it. Go back to Numbers 32. Numbers 32, a couple other points here before we end. Numbers 32, look at verse number 25. The Bible says in verse 25, and the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. But thy servants will pass over, every man armed for war, before the Lord to battle, as my Lord saith. You know, sometimes when we go out and preach, we go on mission trips, you know, we can't bring our entire family with us, right? And I think of, you know, this recent trip. You know, my wife and my children, they had to stay back home. You know, one thing I want to just be thankful for is my wife just willing to, you know, to be, you know, somebody who is going to stay on point, you know, and serve God and raise children and endure afflictions in that regard. So that way I can go out and I can go battle. I can go do things that are, you know, maybe she would and the kids don't have an opportunity to. So really what I'm bringing up here and just the idea here is that I believe that our women, our wives, our children, you know, there's an element that they're going to reap in those rewards as well. You know, just because our wives stay back by the, you know, there's plenty of verses you could go to where the men, they stood back by the stuff, but, you know, they were rewarded too, right? It's not like, you know, and every lady's in a different point in her life. You know, some ladies that are single, they do have the opportunity to go preach the gospel. And I'm not saying every woman has to stay back or every wife has to stay back. There are going to be different seasons in life. There's going to be different opportunities. And some of the best soul winners in this church are women, right? So we don't want to have this bad mentality, think only the men need to go out and battle. I mean, Miss Lucy was tearing it up in the schools. I mean, she was getting a lot of people saved in those classrooms. And, you know, it's probably, you know, a bunch of dudes get up and, you know, a little rough around the edges, the kids probably listen a little bit better to a woman in that setting, right? And so we're all going to have our strengths and weaknesses, but what I want to encourage the wives is if your husband goes on a mission trip, hey, don't think that you're not accomplishing anything or that you're not doing anything for the Lord, because somebody had to stay back with the little ones. Somebody had to stay back with the stuff, and, you know, there's still you know, benefits in doing that. It's not like you're not going to be rewarded for sacrificing and doing the Lord's will, doing what God has commanded you to do as a wife as your husband goes out and preaches the gospel. You know, it may be that that's the season of life. It may be that's the situation. And I just want to say I'm thankful for my wife. You know, and the men that went on this trip that have wives, hey, you should be thankful for your wives. That she was willing to, you know, endure. Because that's tough. That's difficult. You know, it's not easy. And so I believe that there's a reward for them as well. And I think that's what the Bible is kind of highlighting here. Is like they still had to stay back with the little ones. They had to take care of the cattle. They had to do a lot of hard work as well for every man to inherit his inheritance. Right. Also, another thing I want to point out, and this is just an encouragement for going on a mission trip, is notice in order to go and help them inherit their inheritance, they had to cross over a body of water. They had to cross the Jordan River. And, you know, sometimes when we go on mission trips, guess what? You got to cross a body of water. And I just want to plug that in. That if you're on the fence, if you're, you know, still trying to contemplate going on a mission trip, whether it be Barbados or the Philippines, listen, choose to do it. You say, well, man, I don't really have the time, or I don't have the money, or I don't have the means in which to do it. Listen, I'm sure going up to the brim of the Jordan River looked a little daunting of a task. But it took faith, them putting their faith in God and God performing a miracle in their life by causing the waters to be stayed. And they crossed that Jordan River on dry land, just like the Red Sea. And if you just pray to God and you have a desire to go on one of these trips and you set that as your focus, I guarantee you God will open that door. He will perform a miracle in your life. I believe in miracles. I don't know about y'all, but hey, listen, we should be people of great faith where we can just put our faith in God and trust God that he can provide. He can make a means for us to do that if we just set our heart and our mind to go with our brethren into battle so that way every man can receive his inheritance. Go to, let's just skip down here for my last point. Verse number 29. Verse number 29, the Bible says, and Moses said unto them, if the children of Gad and the children of Reuben will pass with you over Jordan, every man armed to battle before the Lord, and the land shall be subdued before you, then ye shall give them the land of Gilead for a possession. But if they will not pass over with you armed, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan. Now notice what he's saying here. He's saying if they choose not to go, they don't get to inherit the land on the other side of Jordan, which would have been a better land. It was perfect for them. It was cattle, right? That's the most perfect will of God. You could look at it that way. If they chose not, or if they quit early, they return back. The Bible says that they don't get to possess that land. Their possession is going to be in the interior of Israel, right? On that other side of Jordan. What does that mean? Well, if you think about it, if you have more tribes in a smaller space, You know, just by reason of math, you inherit a smaller inheritance. You inherit a smaller possession. So by not going out, returning from the battle, stopping short, you don't get that full reward. Your reward is diminished. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Notice Moses said, be sure your sin will find you out. Yeah, of course, if we commit sin after we are saved, there's no chance we're going to go to hell ever because Jesus paid for all of our sins. We have eternal security, you know, when we believe on Jesus Christ. We're never going to go to hell. If you believed in Jesus Christ, you could do nothing from God, and you're still going to have a possession in heaven. You're still going to go to heaven. But if you sin against God by not going out, not helping every man gain his inheritance, then be sure your sin will find you out, whether that's here on earth, but most importantly in heaven. Because if you get to heaven without obeying God in this area of your life, you're going to have nothing to show for your life. Your life will be wood, hay, and stubble that's burnt up.
That's true.
Notice what the Bible says here in verse number 10. Verse number 10, the Bible says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. You know, that verse really reminds me of Moses, where he's basically telling Reuben, Gad, and half-tribe Manasseh, hey, take heed. Take heed. Because if you don't go to battle with your brethren, you're not going to inherit the full blessing that God has for you. It's going to be diminished. This is the same message here. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 11. It says, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. You know what that's talking about? Winning souls for Christ. Helping every other man receive his inheritance. That gold, silver, and precious stones. If you want to build a great house in heaven, you have to work for it. You have to go out and preach the gospel. You have to be a soul winner. And that's what's great. It's if you obey God, even though that's the bare minimum, God still rewards us. Isn't that great? But if we don't obey God, if we choose to neglect or to put off soul winning in our life, there's also a consequence for that as well. Notice what the Bible says in verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. If you build on your house wood, hay, stubble, things of this world that don't have eternal value, if that's your focus in this life, then you will have nothing to show for that in heaven. It'll all be burned up. In the day of the Lord, the judgment seat of Christ, you'll have nothing to show for your work's sake. Have the mentality of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Have the mentality of Paul, where he's enduring all things for the elect's sake. One last place I want to have you turn. Go to Joshua 22. We'll end there. Joshua chapter number 22. So the passage that we're reading, they're just starting this journey. They haven't even crossed over Jordan. So you say, well, what happens at the end of this story? Do Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, do they follow through all the way to the end? The Bible says that they stayed and battled with their brethren till the bitter end, to the very end. Notice what the Bible says. Verse number 1. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. You know what Moses is saying? Hey, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's the message I want to hear when I get to heaven one day. That I finished my course. That I kept the faith. That I endured to the bitter end. Right? And that's the mentality that we should have. Is we should have this mentality that, hey, I'm going to be a soul winner for the rest of my life. I'm going to go and work and battle till every man receives his inheritance. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the ministry that you have given us to preach the gospel to the lost. Lord, thank you for all those that chose to go on this previous missions trip. And God, I pray that you would keep us safe on the Barbados trip that's coming up. Lord, I pray that if there are any here that are still trying to decide whether or not they want to go, whether it be the Barbados trip or the Philippines trip or a cruise mission trip or just any mission trip in general, Lord, I pray that they would earnestly seek your face, Lord, that they would have faith in you, that you're going to provide for them and that you're going to allow that to happen in their lives, Lord, and that they would take action. Lord, that we would all take action this afternoon. Lord, that we would take action every week for the rest of our life so that way every man could receive his inheritance. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's open up our hymn books for our last song this morning. Page number 4. The Way of the Cross Leads Home, page number 4. The Way of the Cross Leads Home. 4, let's all sing it out to the Lord on that verse.
I must need to go home by the way of the cross. There's no